Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So is Kevin Cash the manager of the year in the American League? Good thing they voted before the playoffs, because I think he might be. It's Florida Georgia week. All precincts are closed. We're going to declare a winner. And Antonio Brown met with the media after his first practice with the Bucks. He sounded contrite. We'll tell you what TB12 and Tony Robbins had to do with his comeback. We've got all that and more to discuss with Chris Torello of Spectrum Sports 360 on Bay News 9 on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, you know who's got the best party platters for your catering in Tampa Bay? Well, it's Mr. Empanada. What the heck is an empanada? Well, here's what you do. You take your favorite foods, whatever they are, you place them inside a pocket of homemade dough. It's cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and piping hot. Their empanadas are a fresh twist on some old favorites. Now, you can order their delicious menu items made from scratch. They include soups or salads or the Cuban sandwiches. Order them online at MrEmpanada.com or call any one of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay. Where Latin food quality and service meet, it's Mr. Empanada. All right, Steve, so we had a chance to talk with Antonio Brown on the Zoom call that the Bucks set up after his first practice. It was a walkthrough practice, although Bruce Arians said that he was the only guy running full speed. You imagine like being out for, you know, what's been about 18 months of not really playing football, not knowing if you were going to get back, you know, into it again after the 8-game suspension. And then here you are in the middle of really what is sort of a chase for the NFC South, the biggest game of the year on Sunday Night Football. And Antonio Brown is going to have a role where he could play anywhere from 10 to 20, 25 snaps in this game. So I'll say this about Brown, and I know we've got a little soundbite maybe from it, but he sounded extremely contrite. He hit all the right points, I thought.
Well, I've been super grateful to be here with such great organization, to be around some great players. For me, you know, first and foremost, being away from the game a year and a half, just to see, to be able to be a part of the process and be out there with the guys today was surreal, something I don't take for granted. You know, something I have a great appreciation for, a better perspective about. And a lot of gratification to do what I love, man. You know, it's a blessing.
He was very humble about everything. It's clear to me that, you know, he missed football and he is not taking it for granted that he has found his way back to a team, to the process, to the, you know, being part of a team and one that is in the middle of a very important stretch of their season. So, look, I understand, and we've talked about, you know, the issues that are outstanding still with him and some civil suits and things that are coming up later this month. But he won the press conference, as they say. You know, he sounded like somebody who was pretty well focused on football. And let's face it, how many shenanigans can he have if he's staying at Tom Brady's house?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. I mean, I believe he has missed football, and I believe he believes he's a changed man, and we'll see.
Yeah.
Once the spotlight's back on you, once you have some success,
there you go.
Then we'll see if he truly has changed some, or if he'll resort kind of back to his old ways. And you know, only time's going to tell. But you hope with Tom Brady in his corner and let him stay at his house for now that'll be a positive influence on him. And you know, there's a lot of good guys in this locker room that can be a positive, from Mike Evans to many others in this locker room, too, that, you know, you hope that positive influence and the fact that he's been out of football for a while and is, you know, this may be his last chance, that, you know, you kind of wake up to that.
I think he realizes that. And, you know, he came in wearing the TB12 hat and had a big smile. And you know, obviously he's very charismatic. And he mentioned the fact that all these guys were his former teammates, you know, Byron Leftwich and Larry Foote and Antoine Randall L. Bruce Arians, you know, he has coached and played under in Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of guys, I think, that understand Antonio, and you know, like I said, if he's doing the work, if he's putting in the work to try to change himself, he admitted he had some anger issues, he had some things that he had to work on, and you know, so far so good. I mean, let's see if we can get him on the field for a game. It was interesting. I talked to Sean Payton, who did a conference call with some of the Tampa Bay media, and you know, when I asked him about Antonio Brown, he said, "Look," he goes, "you know, the problem that we face is we know he's a really great player, but we have no idea exactly how they're going to use him, what role they're going to put him in, what packages he'll be in." And so they're, you know, obviously they know the talent and he can play anywhere, but to try to figure out, you know, what combinations they're running, where they line him up, they put him in motion, like how are you going to account for this guy? And already you can see that's going to have a good impact on one of their other receivers, whether it's Mike Evans or, you know, Scotty Miller or, you know, somebody like that. Antonio Brown's going to get plenty of attention from the other defense.
So, in other words, Sean had the same press conference he had before the first game that time they met. And we have no idea how they're going to use Tom Brady and what offense they're going to run.
Yeah, it's true. He kind of says that before every game.
I'm not saying there's not some truth to it, but...
Yeah. Well, they didn't know. And unfortunately, neither did Tom, because he acted like he had no clue what offense they were running. You go back and look at that game, man. Ooh, it was not one of his best. And he had the pick six and all of that. But I think they've come a long way since then, baby. And, you know, we'll just see how it all plays out. But it's always great when the Saints and the Bucs get together. Of course, you don't know how many more times you're going to see Drew Brees. Right at Raymond James Stadium.
You didn't think we'd see him this year, so.
No, and in fact, I was convinced that he was retiring, and he thought long and hard about it. I mean, even after they were pressing for an answer, he didn't give it to him right away. So I could just kind of read the tea leaves when I was over at the Pro Bowl and he had his kids, and, you know, kids go to those things, but he was taking a little extra time to smell the roses and you know, selfies with them and introducing them to players and things. And I get it. You would do that with your kids too, but it just seemed like he was lingering a little too long on the practice field at times. And I really didn't think he'd come back. And now he's, you know, he's on the injury list with his shoulder. I think he's going to have for as long as he lives the next, you know, 50, 60 years or whatever it is. Because that's just the condition it's in. But no, I love the matchup. You know, these two guys have gone back and forth for the NFL lead and career touchdowns. It's really interesting that standpoint. Yeah, it should be a great game. There was some other Bucs news, however, other than Antonio Brown. Ryan Succop, their place kicker, of course, who they signed before the start of the season, won NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. I think it's been a while since we've been able to say that about a player on special teams, much less a kicker.
I was going to say a kicker? Yeah, it's got to be a long time.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of oxymoronic right there. You know, Bucs kicker player of the week, like that. Those things usually don't flow together. But he's been really, really accurate. Good guy, God fearing guy. I mean, like, you know, fits in perfectly. I just, you know, not the longest leg, not going to get you many 52, 54, 55 yard field goals, but he's money, you know, from the 45, 40 on in. And you know, there's something to be said for that. He kicked 4 field goals the other day against the Giants, and it turned out that, you know, they needed all of them. So good for him. Congratulations. It's certainly been a while since they've had a special teams player of the week, for sure. The other thing is that some bad news, Ali Marpet, their starting left guard, who almost never misses a game, much less a practice, he's in concussion protocol. Nobody remembers seeing Ali getting stung like that, but apparently sometime during the game he was hit. And, you know, these concussions are very serious. And the first thing they're going to do is make sure that he can, you know, feel better by the end of the week and go to an independent neurologist. And they'll try to determine whether or not, you know, he can play. But they, you know, this is the thing, that offensive line, and I think it's not a secret that when you have an offensive line that stays together and all 5 of those guys have started every game, they get better as they play, but this is going to be a little bit disruptive now if Marpet can't go.
Well, as we talked about after Monday night's game, this is the only team that's had the same offensive line start every game this year. So
there you go. There you go.
If Marpet can't go, that means no teams in the NFL through the first 9 weeks will have had the same offensive line go.
That's crazy, man. That's a lot of injuries, and the Bucs' offensive line has been one of the best in trying to protect the quarterback.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, the lovely and talented Chris Trello of Spectrum Sports 360 and Bay News 9 joins us. Chris, it's been about 2.5 years since I talked to you last. I think we've gone through 10 championships, and I don't know how many late nights you and I had, but not together. I got to be honest with you. I was glad that and not glad that the Rays lost, although I'm not sure I could have taken a Game 7 simply because I was out of gas. How did the boys and girls at Bay News 9 navigate all those championship runs there late at night?
Okay, so I want to go back to the Lightning real quick because I'll tell you what, I think it was like the Saturday when they could have won it in Game 5, I believe, right?
Right.
So that game goes to what, double overtime?
Yep.
And so we've got our weekend crew there, right? And they're, they're the weekend crew. And all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, we have to stay. Like they want us to keep updating this. And I'm like, yeah, like this is what we do. Like, you know, like it's like, this is just who we are. Like, you know, like this is the lives we've chosen, you know? So they were kind of like, oh my God, when are they going to score? And I'm like, I don't know. I could call the bench for you. I could see if they could do something about it. But, you know, so I think that was the first time I went, God Almighty, please end this. And then when the Lightning won, it was nice. We could kind of move on because so much goes into leaving stuff over for the mornings, like what you have to do with putting a podcast out.
Yeah.
You know, like what we have to do is leaving morning wraps. So there's a lot that goes into that. I can't do the highlights without a final. I just can't. So.
Right. And then you had the crazy parade and boat show that was good content as well.
Oh yeah.
From Raymond James. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then, you know, listen, I have, because we haven't been together here on the podcast for a while, you know, Kevin Cash is now up again for Manager of the Year. I think this is his third try. And of course, those things are generally voted on by the baseball writers before the postseason. So I would think he'd have a good shot, although my friend Steve Versnick says that he thinks Rick Renteria of the White Sox might win, which is ironic since he got fired for 85-year-old Tony La Russa. He's not really 85. I think he's 76. But anyway, so just quickly, because I mean, you had to be like many of us, kind of jumping up and down, saying you're not going to get this ball from this guy right now, right? I mean, with Kevin Cash, that was despite knowing that somebody, the chart said to do it. Nobody felt good about it. Probably not even Kevin.
No. And here's the thing, because it was the fourth inning and I'm starting to tweet out like, he better not take him out. He better not take him out. Like, you don't touch him. And then John Smoltz starts going on about, oh, you know, it's not about being physically tired. It's about being mentally tired. And,
yeah.
And I'm like, does Blake Snell look any bit tired to you?
No.
In any way, shape, or form? Let me tell you something. John Smoltz said the best game he ever pitched was a 1-0 loss in Game 5 of the World Series in 1996. He got out-dueled by a young lefty by the name of Andy Pettit, all right? So he was watching another great young lefty starting to really get himself together. And whenever I saw Kevin Cash came out of that dugout, I said, my God, what are you doing? And then Mookie Betts afterwards, he said, that was it. He goes, that's all we needed.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just very – listen, I get the numbers. I get all of it. And listen – the reason why the Rays got there is because they play the numbers. They play the guys that no one else thinks about playing. They go four outfield formation. They do things you don't think about. You can only dream of doing. And so that's why they got there. But you're right until you're wrong. And unfortunately, it was just the time when, you know, I wish Kevin Cash, who's a really good manager and I think is Manager of the Year, he just needs to, you know, that's one of those moments you just put your card in your back pocket and you say, okay, Blake, it's all yours. Mookie hasn't hit you. And if Mookie Betts gets up there and lines a double or a two-run home run, take your cap and say, you know what, at least we went with our ace.
Yeah, the next three guys, including Betts, had struck out twice. And as a hitter, you're happy to see almost anybody. And as far as Blake Snell getting tired, well, here's the guy that stays up to 4 o'clock in the morning playing Fortnite, I think, or whatever he does.
He's got the strong hands, you know. He's fine. He's all set, you know.
He's not going to get tired. That was a tough one. And you just hope for Kevin Cash, I know you know him very well. I've been around him. I think he does an unbelievable job. You know, to succeed a guy like Joe Maddon, as wildly popular and successful as he was, and do it somewhat seamlessly and get this franchise back to where they are, is not a small feat, to say the very least. And it means a lot to him, obviously, being in his hometown and all of that. But, boy, you sure hope, because you know how hard it is to get there, Chris. You sure hope that he gets another chance to get back one day. But if he doesn't, you'd hate to have this on the first line of his Wikipedia page, right?
Yeah. No, I think we all agree the Rays, the way that they've drafted, the way that they've been able to, you know, hey, Heimblum goes to Boston, we saw Friedman go to L.A., and yet the what they do internationally, what they do with the draft and free agency, they still find a way. So I think the nucleus, I think everything that you want in this Tampa Bay team, it's going to work. We were worried about a 60-game season. I think it's going to work fine over a 162-game season. Yep. I think, you know, the Rays are going to hopefully find their way. But listen, if Charlie Morton wants to pitch, why? Mm-hmm. I mean, you tell me, Snell, Glasnow, and Morton in one of the best three big three. That's probably the best big three in baseball. So they're lined up. They just got to get a few things worked out. But, yeah, Kevin Cash, great guy, great demeanor. From spring training on, never a care in the world. I mean, his interviews during the World Series were classic. I mean, the way he was making Joe Buck laugh, I've never seen that. So he's a great guy, and, yeah, I think the organization's got the right guy leading them.
Yeah, totally agree. And then, of course, you know, the big news – and the game that everybody is focused on will be this Sunday, Bucks and Saints. You've watched sort of the evolution of this offense. Tom Brady starting out, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, first 3 games. Of course, when they opened against New Orleans, it was not nearly the same team. He wasn't really that up to speed on the offense, much less the players. But since then, he's gone like, what, 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. One interception. It was a bad. Bad game against the Giants, but you know how that is. I mean, you go up there, you're on the road, it's Monday Night Football, there's no fans. It was tough for them to generate some of their own energy, and they didn't play well. But yet, Daniel Jones, you know, became Daniel Jones, and the Giants lose after they pick up a flag for the 2-point conversion. I mean, you saw the game. Just what have you made of sort of where the Bucks are right now? Are there still holes they have to patch, or are they just winning, you know, in spite of themselves sometimes? And really, I mean, I think Sunday it comes down to, Chris, you win that game, you're in a perfect position to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bears game was an important lesson for this team. And I think, you know, yeah, you lose on a short week and things weren't going your way. But I think, you know, that Giants game could easily go the other way. I mean, give Joe Judge credit. I think he's a very – young, good coach that even though the Giants are whatever they are, you know, you've got a good nucleus around him. You've got Jason Garrett. You've got guys. Now, Daniel Jones has to clean stuff up because he looks more like Jameis Winston right now than he does anybody else. So he needs to clean himself up. But he's got a lot of potential. I like some of their defense for the Giants. So the Bucks, when you lose a weapon like Godwin and you've got different guys and – you know, you and maybe those guys, yeah, you trust them like a Mickens or somebody, but you know, there's always that chance that a couple of passes don't go your way because they stop running or miscommunication and that gets you off the field. So things happen, right? I mean, and listen, I think the Bucks team last year with Jameis loses that game up in New York.
No question.
So
no question.
With Tom Brady, with these guys, they're going to win these games. And you just, if you're a Bucks fan, you kind of sit there and say, okay, well, they won and you can move on. So I expect them to play really well on Sunday. And, you know, Tom Brady, I think if anybody wants a chance to kind of redeem himself, I mean, think about it. The biggest games for him, this is probably the biggest division game he's had in a long, long time. I mean, he's never had to redeem himself against the Dolphins or against the Jets or the Bills. This is huge for him. This is one of those games where he goes, you know what? I wasn't that good against the Saints. I have to find a way to be good. I'm really intrigued to see how he handles that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that you know, he's going to want to play his best game, and I do think that being home will help. There'll be some fans, of course, but the Saints, you know, the Saints have been a tough out. I mean, they just keep hanging around. Drew Brees keeps hanging around. They're probably going to get Michael Thomas back. Alvin Kamara has been a problem. It's going to be an interesting atmosphere, I think, overall. You know, I really, this is one of those games where I think it could go either way, and yet I do believe that if you get swept by the Saints, even if you finish, of course, then with the tie, you know, the same record, you're going to lose because of a tiebreaker. This is about the postseason. That's why Brady is here, to play these big games, and you know, he's got to be a lot better than he was in New Orleans, which I think he'll be. But I can't really figure out like which way to go with this game. I just think it's going to be. It has the potential to be one of those really entertaining Sunday night football games, and I hope it is for the fans.
I think it could be who has the ball last. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, I mean, because listen, Brees, Brady, you give him 2 minutes and the ball and a chance to go score.
There
I
you
mean,
go.
Just
yeah.
get out, just enjoy yourself. So, right. You know, I mean, we'd all enjoy that as not just reporters or stuff, but as fans. I will be there, so I am excited to be there for this game. So nice. it's going to be fun, you know, and I think that's all you can ask for is just two really good teams, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks who are the top two TD passers in the game's history. And let's just see what they can do to see who's going to probably go ahead and win a division.
Now, Antonio Brown is looking for a place to live. Do you got any room or do you think he stays with Brady in the big, you know, mansion there in Jetersburg or – what do you make? First of all, what do you make of this acquisition? Really, we know that Tom has driven this since probably March, but let's face it. And we talked to Antonio. I don't know. You know, I'm sure you saw his comments today. Contrite. I mean, very contrite, very understated, very introspective. I mean, I guess Tony Robbins has made an impression on him. I don't know. I don't know.
I
got
think,
nice teeth. I don't
yeah,
know.
No, we're all full up here in the Torello household. But you know, I think for Brady, it just, you know, I remember when Brady spoke on this not that long ago. He really, you know, he's always believed that it's his job, especially since he came in. He had a lot of great teammates on both sides of the ball, veteran guys who helped show him the way, and he understands that he had a very nice upbringing, very privileged upbringing. A blessed upbringing, and he knows a lot of his teammates don't have that. So he feels, especially as he gets older, he needs to pay it forward. And I think for whatever reason, Antonio Brown is like some lost soul mate of his because the two of them, whenever they're around each other, they seem to be the happiest. So I think having him with his, you know, having him at home, I think it's a great way to kind of say to Antonio, hey, man, you really are here. You really are a part of this team. And you don't have to go to a hotel room. You don't have to do that. You're with us. So that's a really comforting thing for Antonio Brown. And like you said, he said all the right things. He said it all in the right form, right?
Yes.
I don't think he's going to be a problem on the field. And I really don't think he's going to be a problem in the locker room. I remember when they got Leonard Fournette, everyone's like, oh, this guy's a cancer in the locker room. I don't think there's been one issue with him, you know? Mm-hmm. So you know, these are all guys who understand that it's about winning. It's about coming together, trying to see if they can put this together between right here in November through, you know, February. See if they can raise a championship. So, you know, listen, they need the help. He's one of the best to ever play that position. I mean, he's just gone through stretches. And I think even in his young 30s, he's got a lot left in the tank. So, I think, you know, good time off to kind of clear the head. Obviously, he had to serve his suspension. But listen, you know, as far as Roger Goodell and the NFL is concerned, he's paid his debt to them. So throw him out there and let's see what he can do.
You know, it's interesting because, and Brown mentioned this on the interview, that, you know, like Brady, he was a late round pick. You know, no one expected a whole lot of him when he came to the NFL. And yet he had this sort of insatiable work ethic. I think Tom has is probably added to that. I mean, they spent like all of 11 days together. It must have been the most unbelievable 11 days in New England. I mean, it sounds like a book title, right? 11 days in New England. But I think that he does see sort of a kindred spirit, and he does want to help guys. He feels an obligation to help. Everybody has said that Brady is a tremendous teammate. He's very generous. For a superstar quarterback, he just wants to be one of the dudes. Clearly, he's not. He's Tom Brady. But for whatever reason, I mean, there is this sort of competitive fire in both those guys that have them performing at a level that, I mean, it's one thing to be a quarterback at 43, which is ridiculous. How about when you're running and catching and playing at the level that Brown is capable of? Now, he's played one football game in 18 months, but, you know, he's never out of shape. He looks like he can go out there and you know, keep doing it for another 5 years.
Yeah, and I think that just, you go back to what you said. I mean, I think he was the 195th pick.
Out of Central Tom Michigan. Was 200. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, right around there. So I mean, then Brady's 199. So 199, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's crazy. So I think what I see is two guys who, even though they are probably right at the top of the list for, you know, guy, you would, if you had to pick a team, those are two guys you'd want. To them, it's almost like they're the last kid being picked for dodgeball. And they're going to go out there and they're going to show you why they should have been. Why? No, seriously. Brady's going to fire that ball at the team captain and get him out. And then Antonio Brown's going to catch the ball from the other team captain. That's how they're motivated. That's how they're wired differently than so many other players. And you see it week in and week out, Rick. You see the Falcons, Matt Ryan, you know, oh, lose a game. Ah, no big deal. Ho-hum, move on. You know, you see the way some players are. That's not Brady. Brady loses a game. He is so ticked off. He wants off the field. You know, like, he doesn't care what anyone says. You know, he doesn't care if people want to say that it's Nick Foles for whatever reason. He doesn't care. Yeah. He wants to win. So that's Antonio Brown. He's got a big chip on his shoulder. And Brady, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a guy with a bigger chip on his shoulder who's done more in his life. So I think those two are really out there together proving a lot of people wrong.
If you can dodge a car, you can dodge a ball, right? Yeah, what do you say? Something like that.
You can dodge a wrench. Man.
Yeah, dodge a wrench. Is that what it was? A car? I don't know. I screwed it up. See what I did there? I screwed up the movie
dive
line.
And dodge. So.
Yeah. Well, there's been a little bit of college football. You know, we still haven't seen the Pac-12 yet. I guess they're coming back. Ten has been interesting to have them back in action and watching Jim Harbaugh flame out as he's wont to do. But this COVID, I mean, Wisconsin, you know, great start, and then they have to miss a couple games. I mean, how do you think it's going? I get, because we and you have talked about this, you know, and the goal is to keep as many people safe as possible. I mean, Nick Saban got this thing and was still able to coach, you know, a few days later. Are you enjoying the college football season? Does it feel at all normal to you when you turn on the TV on Saturday?
I think when you get to Saturday, it's normal. When you actually see the games being played, it's normal. Just like, you know, Sunday morning when I see Adam Schefter or somebody else tweeting out, okay, no tests, no positives, we're good, let's go. You know, games are going to kick off, you know. And I think, you know, as the weeks go on, you kind of take for granted that we've got this pandemic still going on, because things for a little while can seem normal, right? You go through the routine, you go to practice, you get the injury report, you get the quotes, you get interviews, and you're like, oh, we're moving along here, we're moving along. And then all of a sudden, boom, shutting down a facility. So, you know, no matter what level you're at, it still kind of catches you off guard a little bit, because you still so desperately want that normalcy, and none more so than on a Saturday in the fall, watching what Florida went through, watching what other teams have gone through. And I'm sorry, Rick, about Wisconsin, because let me tell you something. Wisconsin looked every bit as good as any team that you're going to see.
They were
dominating.
They got a quarterback. They got a quarterback. Oh. You know, who knew?
He's good. He's good, man. He's really good. You know, Graham, and then, you know, they lost their second string and their third. I mean, they were going to be down to their fourth string if they played that game. So it would have been. But, yeah, and you know what? I don't know. Part of me still thinks they should have started when the SEC started. They should have just said, listen, we can go back and replay this 1,000 different ways. I'm never going to get it. You know, I'm never going to go to a school president and say, why aren't you playing earlier in a pandemic? You know, I just, that just sounds crazy. So, But yeah, I mean, I think hindsight, maybe they could have played earlier, but it is what it is. But it has felt normal when they play. And listen, I was watching with my brother-in-law, my future brother-in-law, who is a Michigan fan, and watching that game with him, that's when you know it's normal, because the agony is there, and watching Jim Harbaugh just screw up, and clock management's awful. They don't. I mean, they should not lose to that team. They lost to Rutgers. Our boy Greg Schiano. No offense, but you don't lose to Rutgers and then beat Michigan. That's not how this works. So yes, very much so. There's some normalcy. People in Michigan want Jim Harbaugh fired. So all is still fine. So we're having a lot of normalcy in that sense.
Yeah, well, he hasn't beaten Michigan State much, hasn't beaten Ohio State at all. So, I mean, at some point, you can't just, you know, keep losing to the schools from up north. But they'll have to figure out a way to get it going. Oh, we got – it's Florida-Georgia week, and that's always exciting. But let's back up just a little bit to Halloween night, which was odd enough without what happened against Missouri. Look, I like Dan Mullen. I think he's a really good coach. I thought he was a good choice when they hired him, and I think he's going to win a lot of games there. Okay, and you know, Kyle Trask is a good quarterback, and they're playing well on offense, not so much on defense, but they got that going. I'm trying to figure out what in the hell was going on with the brawl. Aside from, you know, obviously a late hit under the chin, nobody likes to see that. You're going to protect your teammates, but I thought that Dan Mullen, I thought he got everybody charged up and sort of threw gasoline on that fire when he came out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think some, you know, I think his team's going to love it, right? His team's going to be like, oh, no, this guy loves us. He's fired
got our
us
backs.
Up, blah, blah.
Yep.
They get, yeah, he got our back. You know, that's you know, but I just, yeah, I mean, listen, Mullen, like you said, is a really good coach. He's had some... I mean, his first fumble this year was I want 90,000 in the stands, like Texas A&M. And
yeah,
then, it was all down.
Oops, we all got COVID. Yeah,
whoopsies. But you know, yeah, and the, you know, I
forgot
mean,
about that.
Look, yeah, I mean, look, I think Dan Mullen, I think he'd want that moment back, but he understands his team has a chance to do something special, and they've kind of beaten all the odds this year. But it's really uncharacteristic, especially when I go back and, you know, these one thing that I wish we could do, but these schools do, and even professional teams, is they have their own video department and they do their own half hour shows and they put them online and stuff. Well, Florida had one where they had them all spread out in the swamp, all spread out. And Dan Mullen, I remember him saying, all eyes are on us. They are going to watch us every single step. Now, Dan Mullen knows everyone's watching him in a regular season. Why in God's name do you think with a pandemic you could get involved like that and just fire people up to be around each other more than they need to be and do all that? So it's very, very uncharacteristic. But he's a fired up guy. So look, I don't know. I really don't like that stuff. I don't like it in general, but especially right now when you got to keep people away from each other more than anything. And he just completely, that was the wrong thing to do. So I don't like that at all.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I would like to see him win something first, beat Georgia and get to the SEC title game. And then maybe I know college football is so much about the coaches because they're the one constant, right? You change players every 4 or 5 years. And then, you know, it was Halloween, but you didn't have to be Darth Vader, did you? I mean,
oh, that was kind of fun. He wore a mask, though. I mean, that's cool. You know, yeah,
full mask. Yeah,
yeah.
You big? Are you a Star Wars guy? Like, are you into that? Do you?
Yeah, no. So I went. So actually, I've been at Disney, of course. I was at Disney the past few days, and we actually got onto Rise of the Resistance, which is the ride where you got to get up early, get in the queue, and then you get to go. Let me tell you something. It's probably the most well-detailed ride I've ever been on in my life.
Really?
The details. Incredible. They got stormtroopers all over. The cast is part of it. Everything about it was really cool. So yeah, in that sense, you know, a ride like that, because you grow up watching it, absolutely I like it. But no, I don't know if I'd ever dress up and go to a press conference dressed like Darth Vader, You know, like that. But hey, to each their own, I guess. But yeah, you're right. I mean, don't forget, Jim McElwain went to two SEC championship games, and then they fired him.
So, he did, yes. Exactly right. He won 10 yeah. games. We're waiting on Dan, which brings us to this game. And I think Georgia has a really good defense. My boy Todd Munkin is there as their offensive coordinator. They've been through a couple quarterbacks now. Offensively, I think they struggle. And nothing against against Todd necessarily, but you know, it's sort of like your weaknesses are we? Like they struggle scoring points, and Florida struggles stopping people. But I give Florida the edge. I think this is the year they get. And again, that Georgia defense is very, very good, and Kirby Smart is really good. I'm leaning towards the Gators in this one. I think maybe they beat Georgia, and despite stubbing their toe against A&M, maybe they make it to the SEC title game.
You know, I always think to myself, this is the year, you know, to bring it back high school wise. Oh, this is the year Tampa Catholic beats Jesuit. And it hadn't happened in about 20 years. Right?
So that's true.
Now it's 2020. So my part of me thinks it's going to happen.
Anything.
This year,
yeah. Yeah.
But if ever a year. But no, my point is that every time you think this team finally has the number, the team that doesn't look like they're better shows up, the team that always somehow finds a way to win. So it wouldn't shock me if Georgia comes out and punches Florida right in the mouth a few times, and before you know it, you're looking at the score going, wait a minute, what? Like, it could be that way, but I'm with you. I think Florida is the better team this year. Kyle Trask has been just unbelievable. I don't think people probably wanted to give him a chance that he's going to be good. He's going to be – no one saw this. Nobody. So, I think he and Pitts and a couple others, if they can get hot, yeah, they have a chance to show the Bulldogs a thing or two this week. And the Bulldogs haven't seen a Gators offense that can score like this before.
No, they got some real talent, and Pitts is just amazing, amazing player. Hey, I thought of you. I was flying back. Where was I? I was in New York, and I'm on JetBlue. And you know how they have the DirecTV. So I was doing DirecTV, but then we got in the clouds or something went on, and so I lost that. So I decided, well, let me find a movie. And okay. I'm not a big Adam Sandler guy, but I found Uncut Gems.
Oh, God.
And I only bring it up because your boy, all of a sudden, I go, whoa, hey, what's this? I didn't know Mike Francesa could act. He's a bookie all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. It's the dumbest bet I ever heard. Yeah. Here's the thing, Rick. One take. I looked at the director. He goes, you want to do it again? I said, Mike Francesa, I'm the number one. I do it in one take. So we walked off. And I said, Julio, get the stretch. And we left. That's what we did. So, yeah. Did you like it? I couldn't watch it, man.
I got KG. You know?
I got like 20 minutes in and I turned it off. I couldn't do it. I thought
that's how far I got. I got until the scene where he you know, of course, Garnett, if you haven't seen the movie, we're not going to spoil it for you because I saw about the first 10 or 20 minutes. Basically, he gets this gem or this diamond, whatever it was, and Garnett has to hold it. So, you know, he hawks the ring and he knew he was going to have a good game because he felt such power from this rock. And he must have bet the house. And then when he wins and goes back to his apartment, then I was done. I was like, okay, I've seen enough. So I don't know how it comes out. I might watch the rest of it. But yeah, how about Francesa with a? Now he had to get paid for that, right? I mean, that had to be a couple dollars.
I don't want it for charity. Okay, I get paid the big bucks. Okay, you pay me the big bucks. Okay, yeah, well, he's got to be rolling over. Especially New York radio just got a heck of a lot more interesting. So.
Yeah,
he gave his time slot to his nemesis. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, no, you're right about that move. About watching that movie, watching that part is probably the best part. So
yeah, no doubt. So what we got going on at Spectrum Sports 360 and Bay News 9 that you can tell the folks about to look into.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think just kind of we're really kind of honing in on the Bucks now. I think, you know, our focus has really been all over the place like everybody else.
You think? So, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. But no, I mean, our coverage is picking up with the Bucks, and we've been consistent. But now I feel like it's about to take a turn. And also high school football, we're going to the playoffs next week. So nobody covers the area better than us when it comes to these teams. And so anybody who needs high school shooting, high school highlights, we've got you covered. We'll take them all the way to December. So that's something I really want to push for people.
This is the best damn sports show on the air, Spectrum Sports 360 and Bay News 9. And Chris Torello is the guy you need to watch. Chris, it's been too long. Now that the late games are over, we'll do it more often.
All right, yeah, not at 2 a.m., though. So.
No, definitely not. My thanks for Chris Torello. It's always great to catch up with him. I'm glad we'll have him back more regularly now that, other than the Bucks who play night games, we should be okay in the windows there. Matt Baker, our college football writer, who's going to be, I think, attending the Florida-Georgia game. He'll break that game down for you, and that's on tomorrow's podcast. Of course, USF, FSU, Miami, all back in action. A big week in college football. And we'll get you ready, of course, for the Bucks and the Saints on Sunday Night Football. It'll be, I think, one for the ages, or maybe the ageless there with Drew Brees and Tom Brady and trying to play for first place in the NFC. The Saints already have a game in hand. They won in the opener, and they're going to try to see if they can sweep that series. So that should be a great one. We appreciate you guys listening. Thanks so much. As always, for Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.